Welcome to the Waco Experience, an American story.
We the people.
With your host, D. Scott Smith.
In order to form a more perfect union.
Interviews with leaders in business, government, and nonprofit organizations.
Promote the general welfare.
Jobs, products and services, and infrastructure for strong communities.
Secure the blessings of liberty.
The Waco Experience is an American story, a story of communities across America. It is your story.
Here's the thing. We so often worry about things we can't do anything about. And even in a down economy, business happens.
Today on the Waco Experience, an American Story, we get a perspective on the culture of organizations from Baylor alumnus Greg Stevens. He didn't end up too far away. He and his family live in Austin. I pulled him off I-35 and into the Baylor Club as he was on his way to Fort Worth for a client event. Greg has a good outlook. Even in difficult times, there are opportunities. You will enjoy how Greg describes gratitude as the difference maker in life. I'm your host, D. Scott Smith. Each week, I bring you stories from leaders in business, government, and nonprofit organizations. You can learn more about this program, our sponsors, and the podcast version of this show by going to our website, thewacoexperience.com. This program is made possible by sponsors, White Bluffs Construction, Custom Building, Home Remodeling. Call Seth at 254-227-2002 and schedule White Bluffs Construction to build your patio, deck, pergola, or maybe you're ready to build that custom home. Visit their website, whitebluffsconstruction.com. Biddy and Bo's Coffee offers hot and cold beverages, catering, and has a community room you can reserve and use at no cost. Waco's highest-rated coffee shop, Biddy and Bo's, is at 110 Franklin in downtown Waco. Chord Buddy is the world's best way to learn guitar and ukulele. Christmas is the perfect time to give the gift of music. This Shark Tank winner and U.S.-made learning system is available on Amazon and their website, chordbuddy.com. Heart of Texas Indoor Billboards. My friend J.B. James Battle, former helicopter pilot for the U.S. Army and his team at Hot TV, amplify your brand where it matters most. Be seen where your customers eat, work, shop, and play. Learn more on the web at hotdigitaltv.com. Quality Cabinets. Your home is an extension of your personality. Smooth, clean, and elegant. Quality Cabinets is the perfect choice for the modern aesthetic. Visit the Design Center at 720 New Dallas Highway in Waco. Quality Cabinets are available for delivery when you are ready. Call 254-744-0938 and visit the website qualitycabinetstx.com. It's a beautiful day here in Waco, Texas. Back at the Baylor Club, we've got a Baylor alum here, Greg Stevens. He graduated here. He's in Austin, and he happened to be on his way up to Fort Worth, snagged him, got him to come into the club here, which is not a bad thing to do, right? We've got a beautiful view. Traffic's not too bad on I-35. So we are going to take this opportunity to talk about Greg, his business, and his outlook for the future. A lot of great things going on in Texas. But Greg, welcome to the Waco Experience.
Scott, thank you so much for having me. This has been a long time coming. We've talked about this for months.
Yeah, it's been a while, and I was a guest on your show. So let's start with that. Let's start with your podcast and your business.
Yeah, my podcast is called A Shot of Inspiration, and it's inspirational stories of people I've met or people who are introduced to me. And I love to just have it organic, a lot like your radio show, and engage with the people and find out what's inspirational to them or how they've been inspired. And I've actually got another podcast that you did, but we haven't launched it yet. We're actually launching it on January 6th. That's 20 years to the date when my father passed away.
Oh, my gosh.
And my father was part of the inspiration for this. And that podcast is called A Spiritual Peace. My father was a minister, and I felt like I wanted to have a spiritual message out there to the world. So while I've been recording A Shot of Inspiration, I've also been recording A Spiritual Peace. I have more than 100 episodes already recorded. So wow. I'm excited to start launching that on January 6, 2026.
Well, we'll look forward to that and send me the links and we'll share that one out as well.
Will do.
So let's talk about your business. You're doing mediation. There's a lot of things that you do, as many entrepreneurs do.
Yeah, I like to keep it interesting. So people say, how do you do all that? Well, I just go from one thing to the other. My company is called Alignment Resources. And what I am, I'm a relationship specialist. I deal in high stakes relationships, difficult conversations, and all of my business revolves around relationships. And that's what I coach on. I have programs for that. And we have training programs. I also have a program called Tip of the Spear. We have a lot of executives that don't have the time to take the class or do the work that I was required sometimes because their schedules are busy. So I'm on retainer with some companies where the executives will call me and say, hey, I've got to talk to my team today, or I've got to talk to the board, or there's a tough conversation I need to have. And eventually always gets to family as well. But I will sit down and talk with them for 30 minutes and figure out how to approach the conversation, what to say. We'll quickly role play with it. And then they come out actually having a couple of reps and they're prepared for the conversation. So that's another program we have.
So I don't want people to have to wait till the end to find out how to get a hold of you. So what's contact information, website, all that?
Yeah, you can get a hold of me at greg@alignment-resources.com. Don't forget that dash because it won't come to me otherwise. And that's the best way to get a hold of me is on that. And also, I don't know if I mentioned, I did write a book called Build New Bridges, The Art of Restoring Impossible Relationships. And you can pick that up on Amazon or even get the audio. But the book is kind of a memoir, coaching program, real life situation, business book. So it has it all in there.
So everyone has relationships, personal, business. But let's talk about the types of businesses, the type of people that would reach out and contact you, Greg.
Oh, my gosh. My last master team, I have two currently going, but one of my last master team, I had a priest who is head of seminary for the legionaries part. I had a field CTO. I had someone who was in charge of a large nonprofit. I have had someone who does business deals and owns more than 26 businesses. It's all these people in the same master team that I have. And so it's so varied. We had a graduation and people that came we did it virtually. People were just amazed at how diverse the group was because I work with decision makers, leaders, executives, business owners who have to make tough decisions and typically have the people problems that most businesses have. They have the drama, the culture issues, all of the things that keep people up at night around, I wish I didn't have to deal with these people issues because I've got this product or we've got this service. Why are we having to deal with these people issues?
I was just thinking about business owners and executives. They need to have an outside voice. These decisions that they have to make, they can't brainstorm them with the people around them because it directly affects them.
There's a great quote, and it's, you can't read the label from inside the jar. We all need someone outside of us. I've got three different coaches that I work with that help me in different areas. I call them at different times because I'm too close to the things that I'm around. And to become better, I have to be able to bounce that off of people. And that's what we do. The genius of people is out there. But I also have a lot of people, a lot of coaches who come to my programs because of having these difficult conversations. I talked with one today. He's been a coach for 30 years. He said, Greg, when I first started to do your program, I was just being kind. I thought, I'm going to see what this person is. He says, I've uncovered so much about relationships that I thought were really good, but they've gotten better. And that's the key. I believe that our lives are about relationships. The quality of your business, the quality of your life, the quality of things at home is determined by the level of how effective those relationships are. And you're right, every business owner or person in business needs to be able to manage those. Everyone shows their true colors when things get difficult. It's easy to talk about it when things are going well. I had a program that I used to teach, I created, it was called Effective Performance Reviews. And as I was teaching people to give performance reviews that were motivating, typically, oh, well, these are easy, it's the hard ones. Yes, that's what we're gonna be working on, is the hard ones, because that's when we end up usually at our worst and we wanna be at our best.
When I was managing bank branches, I brought in a consultant and we talked about communication styles. So everyone went through and did the test, right? Took the inventory. The interesting thing that this particular inventory did is it gave you your communication style and how they work together. So if you're a one and I'm a two, how does that work? And someone else is a three and so forth, right? The interesting part of this test was it also showed you how your communication style changed under stress. So yeah, you might be a one, a one, a one, a one, but then stress comes and you become a four. If you know that and the people around you know that, and we understand how do they relate to each other. So let's talk about some of these things in the workplace.
Yeah, I think a lot of people know them as DISC or Myers-Briggs and a lot of that. I tell people that's more of the framework of a building. It's the frame around it. I like to deal with the deeper level, the foundation. And that's one of the things most people don't want to do. They don't want to build that foundation because that's the hard thing. That's where everything's going to sit. And it typically lives in the area of trust and respect. And most people don't talk about those things. They assume them. It's interesting, even the priest who is in my last master team, I have people go and have conversations with their direct reports about what respect looks like to them. And he said, I'm a priest. Do you think this would be easy? But he said, I realize I've never had a conversation about what respect really looks like. So it's awkward. Anytime you do something the first time, it's awkward. But like you said, understanding a person's communication style pays big dividends. Talking about those foundational issues, talking about trust, talking about respect pays huge dividends as well. You don't do one or the other, you do both and. If you want to be a great communicator and you're a leader in a business, this is one area you'll always be working on. I consistently take communication courses, and I've been doing this for more than 25 years. So I'm in a new sales class. I used to, my first sales job to get through Baylor, I sold cemetery property door to door in the Houston Humble area. And I paid for entire year of Baylor in 8 weeks. So I knew how to sell. I was a pharmaceutical rep for 13 years. It's so interesting. I'm getting back and learning the sales conversation. All conversations are different. What are you looking at? Are you looking at a negotiation? Are you looking at a dialogue? Are you looking at actually gaining information? What is your intention in those conversations? And one of them, like you were talking about, when you're talking about DISC or Myers-Briggs, what's the best way to communicate with you, Scott? I want to make sure I'm communicating in a way where you can hear it. Most of us talking, you know, the illusion that communication has taken place is so often mistaken.
When my wife and I were engaged, I was in the Air Force. We were engaged for a year and lived in separate countries. And I don't recommend that. So we did our premarital counseling by cassette tape. So we just celebrated our 41st wedding anniversary this year. So
that's great.
We did Gary Smalley's Before You Say I Do. And one of the things that I remember from that has applied in our marriage, my personal relationships, and I brought into the business workplace, was voicing expectations. If we're having a three-day weekend and we get to the end of it and I'm grumpy or she's grumpy because, well, I wanted to watch the football game and she wanted to go to the farmer's market, but we didn't share those expectations, then I don't have a right to be upset because I didn't let her know.
Right.
But if we share that ahead of time, and in the workplace, many times I found that the key to conflict, or the key that starts conflict, is not voicing expectations, and especially around project management fundamentals, scope, schedule, and resources. Mm-hmm. So what do you need to get done, and what quality level? When do you need to get it done, and how much money and people can you put at it? And I worked with a guy who everything that he did was time bound. He's the guy who would pay $60 to FedEx to get it there tomorrow, even though the person's gone for the weekend.
Right.
They won't be there. They won't be in the office for 3 or 4 days. But to him, time was of the urgency. And so I know when I worked with him, that's the level that I need to be at. Other people, it's really good quality because this represents our company, our organization, our department. What's your experience in these worlds?
Well, I love what you're saying, because that's meeting someone where they are. That comes down to respect. One of the things most people can't really define how they define respect. And so I'll just give people an example. For me, give me the benefit of the doubt. And if I don't deserve the benefit of that, pull me aside and let me know. Let me know what I did that I don't deserve that benefit. Teach me something, because that's not what I want to do. Then the next step is, how do I know when I'm being disrespected? When people don't come directly to me, or they go to other people and complain rather than letting me know. That comes back to your talking about your assumptions. I take it that step, we talk about assumptions, then we turn them into agreements. Now, it's interesting, because when you have an agreement, agreements can be renegotiated. But have we set up the agreement in the first place? And that's one of the biggest problems. It's hard for us, you know, most people have never sat down with their boss and say, what's their agreement? For instance, if you're my boss, Scott, and I say, you know what, let's do these things. Now, what does respect look like to you? I want you to know I always respect you. If you ever feel disrespected, let me know. Just talk about it. Now, what if you don't get me what you promise? You're my boss. How do you want me to bring that up to you? Because I want to bring it up in a way as I'm not trying to make you wrong, look over your shoulder. I want to make sure I'm supporting you. What's the best way I can support you when you miss a deadline to me? That's a different conversation. Most direct reports don't have that because they don't understand how important that is, but that will happen. But if I've had the conversation before, I've heard people consistently complain, my boss just doesn't get me what they need to. I was like, great, how do you support that? I don't know, because they never had that foundational conversation.
That's so important. I was interim general manager at an upholstered furniture company. We made couches and sofas, sold most of them to IKEA, but we also sold to institutions. So when a hotel builds a new place, they don't go to Ashley right. And go through the catalog, right? We design and build the furniture to them. So the guy that sold those things, we had a lot of fun together. We hit it off well. We loved to joke with each other. And I remember taking him aside and saying, you know, Ron, we have a lot of fun. We joke with each other. Someday I might say something at the wrong time because of something going on in your life or the way I say it. I'm giving you permission right now to call me on that and let me know.
Yeah, that level of consciousness is so rare in organizations, because most leaders want to show that I've got this handled. But what I found, when you're authentic, when you say, I need help here as a leader, I can't see it all. Leaders can't. Great leaders understand they lean on their people and they let them know where they need their help. And one of the things I found is when we do that, but we also keep a high level, that I expect these things and you're on the team, so I need you to speak up when that's not there. And a leader who wants a yes person behind them, they're going to cause more problems in the organization because their vision isn't going to be able to realize. You rarely go from point A to point B in a straight line. So there's adjustments that have to be made, but you'll get more out of alignment if people can't speak to you in a way where you can hear the hard truth sometimes.
So I want to talk about your background and your journey into this role. You talked about selling cemetery stuff in Houston, help pay for school here at Baylor. You were in pharmaceutical sales. That's an animal into itself. We could have a whole conversation just about what that type of world looks like. What did you study at Baylor?
At Baylor, I was marketing and management. I had both of those. And I had in another school, Baylor doesn't give minors, but I would have had enough for economics and management. I had also a degree in real estate. So it's been so long.
And what was your first job out of Baylor?
First job out of Baylor, I got my job 3 months before it was in Houston. I got 3 months before I graduated. I'll never forget. I felt like I just walked into prison when I accepted the job. And then I never felt free deep down again until I went out and became my own entrepreneur. But my first job, I was working with a company that was actually building chemical medical laboratories. In a laboratory, you have specialty plumbing, like glass pipes, very detailed. And I'll never forget the gentleman who hired me, loved me. I knew him. I knew his daughter at Baylor, and he really loved my work ethic. Hired me 3 months before I graduated. Well, I graduated in December. I stayed one extra semester. And I'll never forget, I got to the place on my first day of work, and I showed up, and they go, "Who are you?" I said, "Well, you know, this person hired me." "Well, he sold the company 6 weeks ago to his son." I said, "Okay." And his son came in. He hadn't told his son. I didn't have an engineering degree. I didn't have anything. They didn't have a place for me. There was no plan. That was my first job. I'd already moved to Houston, and they actually stuck me in the warehouse and tried to do everything to get me to quit. And I just gutted out. They didn't know that I put myself through, but they came to me. It was interesting. This is back before there was a new thing called a laser printer back then. And they said, "Well, we're having problems getting clients." That pulled me back in. They said, "You have a marketing degree. Why don't you see if you can do some type of thing to get us business?" Well, I did a direct mailing campaign with laser printers first time. So it looked like they were all original letters. Sent 1,000 of them out, and we had 200 responses. 20% in a direct mail campaign is insane. And overnight, they had $10 million in business. And one of the groups was Baylor University. And so they needed to get rid of me. So they said, "We're going to send you back to Baylor, and you're going to dig ditches for the new project." I was like, "I'm done."
So talk about not having those conversations.
Oh, yeah. And I didn't know how. I didn't know how to deal with any of that back then. That's why I think I had a lot of situations like that where things weren't like they were promised or showed up. Still have those today.
I think a lot of people, including myself, have been in organizations like that where leadership didn't step up and take leadership.
Yeah.
They go, "We're just going to step on somebody just enough till it's uncomfortable and they leave because we don't want them here, but I don't want to fire them."
Right, right. And I look back, and now I love that I had that experience. Great story, but it was difficult. I mean, I was already, you know, I was broke. I was in debt. I was trying to make things work, and I was getting paid nothing. And then I had to jump to another job. When I finally got the pharmaceutical job, that was the first time I really stepped out of poverty, because I grew up in a really poor family. It was the thing that kind of pulled me out of poverty.
I was just thinking about those tough conversations and the benefits that happen when you actually have those. I had an employee that was not a fit for his job. It was at Hewlett Packard. He was in inventory control. It just was not working. And I sat down with him, and I had already arranged with another manager for a job. I said, "You know, this one's not going to work, but we do have this for you." I wondered how that was going to go. When I sat down and told him that it wasn't a fit in this job, and we had a place for him, it was like the world was lifted off his shoulders.
It's amazing when you do have these. Most people are so scared of what's going to happen. I'm scared if we don't do anything, what happens? I'm doing a mediation with the executive team tomorrow. I do mediations where we get the past put in the past. And I actually direct them toward other business coaches for future planning and things. I go and try to help clean up the mess, get things cleaned up. It's so interesting. No one wants to go into the conversations I'm going to be dealing with. And they say, how do you do this? I said, because I'm not looking at the conversation. I'm looking what's on the other side. And one of my clients told me, he said, Greg, what I didn't realize when I did your class is that in business, there is always money on the other side of these conversations. And he attributed just the class that we had to about $5 million in extra revenue this year. And he said, because I went back and had those cleaned up, business came out of it. He said, I could not believe, I never imagined this.
So I want to keep talking about the future.
Yeah.
A lot of people are concerned. They hear a lot of economic news. It was the story of the young man. He's at home and he's trying to understand economics. Unemployment, 7% nationally, 15% in his neighborhood, 100% at home. It always depends on where you sit, right?
Absolutely.
As to what those numbers mean.
Yeah.
Here in Central Texas, things are pretty good, I would say. You're connected to a lot of businesses. You have conversations with businesses across the country, around the world. What are you seeing?
I just see fear right now. It's interesting. This year has been one of fear. I think people are hoping that things fall out a different way this next year. I think there's been just so much uncertainty in 2025 with the shifts of what's been going on. And whether you like it or not, one of the things I'd tell your listeners, what can you change? Here's the thing. We so often worry about things we can't do anything about. And even in a down economy, business happens. You'll see some people move forward. When COVID hit, one of the first things I did is I started Alignment Resources. I was doing consulting. I've always learned when things go down, that's the time to jump on and do something new and add to or expand, because that's, everyone else is going to be going into their fear. But that's one of the things I'd also say recently, Scott, I've been learning personally is, even for what we're looking at right now, I'm going to ask you one thing. Are you grateful, or do you say you're grateful? For me, this is a lesson I've just really dove into in the last month. I started really looking at my life. I looked at where my complaints were, if I was, and I started looking as, do I really trust that I'm taken care of? Am I really grateful in this moment, or am I just saying I am? If I was really grateful, I'd be grateful for a down economy. I'd be grateful that, and people are, I know some people are right now don't understand what I'm saying. Some of you do. Only when I am grateful for what I do have can I actually go and do something more. If I'm not grateful for what I have, that's probably going to be taken from me as well. I just find that that's kind of how the world works when you really get down to it. Because the times I've been grateful, I'm not worried about the other things. Doesn't change the circumstance, changes your mindset.
The Waco Experience, An American Story, is a production of D. Scott Smith Company, all rights reserved. Thank you for listening.